One case in a career where you go all in. This is it.
All right. Well, you do us proud. Because I don't want no scrubs.
Really?
No.
You're not aware that's a TLC song.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's you said chasing waterfalls. Now you're saying you don't want no scrubs.
I don't even understand the reference.
It's like a tick.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Remember, this thing gets messy. We never talked.
You can trust us?
Real quiet. We got a creep.
Creep.
Come on. You don't say creep, creep unless you're quoting TLC. All right, everybody. Welcome back to another week of Muskies on Tap. Welcome to episode 59. I am one of your three hosts on here tonight, Gus Manti, bringing to you a little bit more of an update. I know Max mentioned it right at the beginning of the interview. Just can't let Madison go. We got on our good friend that we met down there at Madison, Will Zeichert, to kind of give us an insight on what's been going on before the PMTT, you know, what happened during it. They took sixth place, him and his partner, Aaron, and kind of, you know, he's been out fishing a little bit after that as well, but we'll get into that in the interview. Without further ado, let's introduce the other members on here tonight. We got none other than my brother, Max. Max has been moving into a new place. How's that been? How are you doing tonight?
I'm pretty banged up. I'd say this, if you ever want to feel really stupid, try putting a couch together from IKEA at 11 p.m. on a Saturday night. It's a recipe for a disaster. But yeah, no, we're getting through it. I'm a little bit more worried about our other host here tonight, Brian Eckel. I know he just had an absolute ripper of a weekend. Little deja vu from 2023 and early 2024 here, watching his boy Rory McIlroy come up short once again at the U.S. Open. Another major passes him by. Brian, how you doing, man? Are you all right? I feel like I need to send somebody over to the house to check on you.
Well, what did I text you? I think when he hit his chip shot in 18 to 3 feet, I was like, if he misses this, I swear to God, it was nice knowing you guys. So predictable. I don't know. I've thought about it a lot. It stings. I thought, you know, okay, this is a good lesson learned. It's just going to fuel the fire. He's going to, you know, destroy at the British here in a month. But I don't think that's the case. I think he's a coward. He's a shell of who he once was. I don't think he'll get back to winning a major. I mean, the only way he'll do that is if someone collapses worse than he's going to collapse, which Bryson right. almost did, but he balled up there in the last and hit a fabulous 50-yard bunker shot to 3 feet and actually made the putt. So, fun tournament to watch, but It felt like every other tournament that you watch Rory in. Too good to be true, and then he chokes it away.
Just let it out, man. We're here for you. Yeah. You're here for us last week. We're here for you this week. I know mm-hmm. you're going through it right now. It's just tough. Other than that, how are things? Oh, no, go ahead. Let him go. Let him cook.
No. Other than that, yeah, I had a good weekend. Not much to report on the fishing front from my end. Gus, you just got off, 12-hour guide trip today?
Yeah, long one. That was tough. The weather freaking was just changing like crazy. I know we might get into it more so on the outro, but these last few days have been just an absolute wild card of weather and trying to figure out a pattern. I mean, it's pretty typical for June, but man, it's like earlier in June was better, and typically more times than not it's harder to get on fish earlier in the year. And I don't know if it's because of the lake choice that I'm making in certain days, and you know, that could play a factor. There's been a few days I have, you know, swung for the fences and you know, gone after really, really big fish, trying to, you know, push into open water on certain systems. And some days it's just fallen short, but man, I don't know. These fish have been freaking unpredictable, and they start just showing up at the weirdest times and the weirdest spots. And I think I just need to find more spots or lakes or both.
New lakes.
Yeah.
Sounds like, I mean, fishing was great prior to Madison, and What do you think happened? A little bit of still trying to shake off a little bad juju in the boat post Madison, maybe.
Yeah, trying to get the mind straight coming back here, you know. I think came back to a tough Monday night league for Dad and I. Tuesday night league was very good. Clayton and I boated two. Got the first of fish of the year on top water. That was pretty sweet. And actually just this Saturday, this previous Saturday, I got the second fish of the year on top water, which is more than we typically do. I mean, I at least just don't throw a lot of top water early in the year, but like there's just been these crazy storm fronts coming in and all these low hanging clouds and rain. Like it's almost like too juicy and it's been producing. It's honestly been freaking top water and swimming dogs is like the only thing that's gonna get chewed out there for me. I don't know what's
Hop water.
blades. Blades have still been the arch nemesis for me. Zero consistency in blades. Next thing you know, we had a great night before going down to Madison with it seems like every fish in the system was going after blades, lost some nice fish, and I haven't seen that since, other than that one new lake I checked when I had some time the previous, a few days ago from right now, where I moved about a mid 40s at minimum on a single 7 bucktail. So just consistency is not there. It's like it's stably unstable right now. Like the temperature of the water has been kind of just chilling in that 64 to 66, depending on what type of lake you're on. Some shallows I'm definitely seeing still like 67, 68 if the water's dirty and the wind's pushing in there. But that's about kind of where we're at right now.
Sounds like that single seven's kind of making quite a comeback here early this year. Maybe not so much for your boat, a little bit here and there, but some other people we've been kind of hearing some reports of those single bladed bucktails. I know that's something we talked about this last winter, switching up the blades and kind of how it ebb and flows on some years. Some combos are good, and
Getting that 700 Booker back out.
exactly, dude. I mean that was like freaking last year. I honest to God don't think we boated a single fish on a single 7 Indiana blade last year at all. I mean we threw them too, and I know for a fact that I have some buddies and reports from other people that they worked, like they caught fish last year, no doubt. But that was like always our number one producing bucktail, like up until for some reason last year. And then all of a sudden this year it's back. It's when the bucktail bite's on. I don't know. That's when I throw that. I've been throwing some double eights. I've yet to get anything kind of going on that, but just the small single bladed bucktails is the only thing I can get anything moving on blades.
Right on. Well, should we dial up our interview here with Will and talk some PMTT, some Mad Chain Muskies, and a little Green Bay talk as well?
For sure. Yeah, let's dial it in.
All right, with us on the line tonight, we are joined by Will Zeichert down in Madison, Wisconsin. I guess we just can't let it go here, fellas. We wanted to have Will on and talk a little bit about the Mad Chain. Will and his partner Aaron Lakin just came off of a great top 10 finish down there in Madison, sixth place. Will, how you doing tonight?
Not too bad, not too bad. Happy to be a part of this.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on. Hopefully we can pick your brain, hear a little bit about how you guys found the stage there at the PMTT. Was that your first ever PMTT tournament you've done, or have you done a few other tournaments?
It was actually my second. So last year when the qualifier came around, we ended up, I don't know, we took part of it. I don't know. We're moving fish. It was kind of tough for us to kind of get the balls rolling, kind of, and trying to figure out a good pattern and kind of first tournament bugs kind of.
What was that like fishing
First tournament jitters.
First one that, like, because you've obviously fished, so I'm guessing the last one you did the Madison chain last year too.
So
Okay.
this
Okay.
last year was my first time, and this year was my second. So, but yeah.
Gotcha. So like your first tournament ever in the PMTT in the Madison chain, it's your home waters. Were you like, oh man, we got them dialed. Like, this shouldn't be a problem. And then you get out there and you're like, where the hell did all the fish go?
Honestly, last year I felt way off. I don't know. It was, this year I felt better going into it because I kind of had a little better game plan going on and kind of trying to think outside of the box a little bit instead of just kind of like stuck on fishing memories. And like, because we all know, like, we have our own kind of like spots we want to fish on our home waters and stuff. We're kind of hitting that, like, kind of like the milk run, basically. But I was just trying to kind of think outside of the box, basically. So I kind of felt a little better going into this one. So,
Gotcha.
yeah.
And you guys stuck your fish. So I guess we'll just kind of get right into it. So you guys caught, was it one fish, right?
Yeah, we were able to catch one. It was, I think it came around that 11 o'clock noon window we had. It seems like a few fish were caught out there.
Okay.
So it was actually a 40, what was it, 41 and a half. So
Yeah, so
we actually had a couple of them moving up. So interesting point of that was like buddy Aaron Lycan, he's not able to make it on tonight, but he was actually the one who hooked up with it, came in, and then actually the cool story about that was like he brought it in, I went grabbed the net, I about to net it, and all of a sudden the second one came up with it. So we had like
oh, no
two
kidding.
fish right there. It was like a, what was
Scoop
it?
them both.
Right. That's what I was about to do. Honestly, I
Yeah.
had the first one in the bag, and then I'm like, oh, I tried to reach for the second one or whatever kind of thing and try to like net the both of them at the same time. But then I'm like, I'm thinking about it. I'm like, dude, this is gonna be a tough tournament. I can't make, I gotta make sure I net this first one. I can't lose this one we actually have caught. So I don't, I'm like, I kind of held off on it, kind of bit the bullet and just let that swim away. And actually, the one we caught was a smaller one out of the two
No
we
kid.
had. Yeah. So that was a 41 we have, 41 and a half we caught. And then that other one was what, probably at least 3 more inches bigger. So it was probably right around that 44, 45 range.
And this was on Saturday, you caught it?
Yeah, that was Saturday. Yep.
Okay. So did you mark fish in the same area pre-fishing then, or was this a new spot for you guys on Saturday?
No, I fished a spot before. It ended up, so in the beginning of the season, I've been kind of, Aaron and I both were kind of focused on Wabisa. That's kind of like our main spot. We kind of like fishing that in the spring and leading up to the summer. So we're grinding that out and we're marking fish like crazy out deep and off the edges, basically all the same spots you guys were talking about fishing and having success on. And I was like, I'm like, I gotta go check out Monona. I gotta see how things play out over there. And I got a little bit of intel on like how the weeds are shaking up and stuff like that, and being out deep and a lot of the bait kind of being right on that weed line and stuff. So I was like, well, I'll go check it out and went out there. What was it? Couple days. I actually, the first day I went out there, I went to the spot right off the tip of the kind of this reef rock bar kind of we're fishing, and ended up moving two fish. My buddy were at my buddy was up in the front deck and he was throwing blades and he moved the two fish, and I caught a pike and a bass all in like an hour. And I was like, well, this is definitely a good spot. There's fish up here and it's loaded with bait. I'm like, yeah, this is cool. So next day went by or whatever, went back out there and I'm like, well, I'm not gonna really burn this spot up too much. I want to kind of leave this alone. So I was checking some other stuff out and it was like another right between some rain and stuff. We've been getting a lot of rain and wind that week or whatever. So we're kind of right between the storms. We ended up checking some other stuff out, checking some other weed lines out, and I noticed every because I haven't been out there and the weeds are kind of a little different and kind of pushing out a little farther and deeper, which we had kind of like the early ice off, so that kind of helped things out like that. So we ended up getting pushed up a few times with boat control. I'm really anal on boat control. I don't know, people who fish with me, I'm like, I gotta be precise, I gotta be on that line or whatever. So the next day I'm trying to think, I'm like, how am I gonna prove this where I'm not gonna get too far away from the weeds or like too far in the weeds where I'm wasting time for the tournament. So I ended up going out, what was it, Thursday, and just literally marking out this whole like weeds, like on the, what was it, kind of like the south side of the lake, basically. Just to kind of like, because the wind was just pounding coming from the north. And I think it was like north, northwest, kind of the whole, was it probably 3 days or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I remember
days in a row.
I know.
Having PTSD over here.
Exactly. So I ended up just kind of focusing on that spot because you know how the muskies are with the wind. They go crazy with that. So
they seem to like it out there. Definitely. Right. Based on like last year, I mean, just looking at some of the pictures of the big fish that they got last year, I mean, it looks like you can like see the 3 footers in the background of the pictures. You know, it's like you gotta fish the wind. I mean, it was just we couldn't really, because like I don't know if we could pre-fish in the wind for 3 days straight and then go fish in the wind for 2 days straight during the tournament. That kind of stinks. But with, you know, that decision to go to Monona, that's interesting because, you know, when Max and I went to this tournament, we kind of had the game plan of like, we're just going to stick to Wabisa. We know it the best and we're just going to do it. And then we got out there and it was clear. There's way less weeds, but we just kind of stuck it out because, like, you know, it's what we know. I mean, did you notice that? Was Wabisa like a little clean to you than normal? Because it was cleaner, at least for us, than just like the previous year. But obviously our only other time there was last year. So, and it sounded like Monona, there was plenty of weeds. And that's, you know, I'm wondering if that, did that wind and rain, did that dirty up the water on Monona at all? Or was it still pretty clear over there?
You had a little bit of tint to it, like little tint green kind of, because it warmed up like previous, like a, what was it, a week ago, it warmed up to like 90s and kind of got that algae bloom kind of started a little bit, I noticed, but then it kind of settled back down or whatever, I noticed. So like, but both lakes were kind of fairly clear, clearer than normal this time of year. So it's basically like you said, I don't know. I just want to think outside of the box on that or whatever and try to hit up Monona instead. So, yeah.
Did you – so and what we heard from a lot of people talking about Madison just like since opener, was it – a lot of people are saying that it's been really tough this year, like harder than normal. Were you seeing the same or did you find some pretty good success earlier in the year?
No, it's been tough. This is probably my worst year for like the last few years, honestly, for like, it's surprising because like the weed growth is really like crazy. It's awesome on Monona. But then, like you said, Wabisa is kind of like slow. It's catching up right now, but like for that tournament, it was definitely kind of like not quite there like Monona was. So like, which is kind of strange, which you think the fish would be going crazy with the weed cover and with that bait stacked up on the outside weed line like that. But overall, it's been like tough. I've been talking to multiple different like local guys and stuff like that, like Mike Thorson and a bunch of other guys I know around town, and they're all struggling. Like it's the only fish I caught, one fish on opener, and that was trolling. Usually you can get on a good trolling bite right away just because the water's so clear. I like try to like almost think of how it's like a reaction strike with trolling or whatever.
Sure.
You're buzzing by a fish or whatever. You got two choices. They're going to eat it or they're just going to leave it. Basically you're not going to have a fish followed in all of a sudden. It's like coming right up to the boat and you're like, getting scared off from the boat basically, and I've seen that so many times. And a lot of people get stuck fishing shallow water and they're like gin clear water, and then all of a sudden like you see a lot of muskies doing that, but like you get a lot of them to get scared off basically. So right. I try to right
what so. Like could you put your finger on any reason why you think maybe the bite's been so tough this year? I mean, with the early ice off, I think northern Wisconsin, I mean, I guess we'll probably talk about it after this interview, but I know it's been a little harder since you gotten back, Gus. But prior to Madison, I mean, the fishing's been really good up in northern Wisconsin. I wonder what the reason is for Madison just being so difficult this year, because that's all we heard prior to the PMTT was like just not a lot of fish being caught, really at all. And then obviously in the tournament, like there's just so slow. I mean, it's just I have not been a part of a PMTT event where you're just not seeing nets in the water and you know, people doubling, you know, up, and that first update that they typically give midday on Saturday. That's always fairly anxiety inducing. But is there any reason, you know, you think that maybe Madison's been slower this year? Could you put your finger on any reason why?
It's tough to say, honestly, but like the only thing I could think of is like the weather patterns kind of been all over the place. Kind of like there's a few days we got a little cold coming through, and then it warms back up. You got wind, you got rain, which rain is good. You got weather, thunderstorms, that's all great, and musky fishing and stuff, prefrontal and stuff like that. But like when you got a lot of that going on, and then you got cold fronts coming through, you got like no consistent weather basically. And I feel like consistent weather is probably the key in musky fishing. Then your pattern can hold true throughout the few days or weeks or whatever that may be. So maybe that's something to do with kind of why it's being so tough right now. But like typically, like in May, it's a struggle bus in Madison. It's like you can see you coming right off the spawn. Like we had a little bit early season for spawning muskies. I feel like a tad bit, but I don't think it was as far along as most people thought it was going to be. So like you got the spawn and also and you finish that up. I call it the regroup cycle, kind of. They out there regrouping. A lot of the big fish will push out deeper, suspend, regroup out there. And usually it'll start picking up in like June, which obviously it's basically almost mid-June right now. And like last few times I've been out, I've been seeing more and more fish. So it's starting picking up a little bit. So that's kind of how the early season kind of typically starts. It's slow in May and then it kind of picks up in June. So
Gotcha. Real quick. I mean, just going back then to the tough bite, obviously we had during the tournament, you guys were able to get one. I was meaning to ask this earlier, but when you guys did stick that fish around 11 a.m. on Saturday, so that's the first fish you guys caught in the PMTT event. I mean, were you starting to think some big things? Like, all right, we got a nice one in the bag. Like, we're on some fish. You know, you're just seeing obviously that mid-40s come in. I don't know if it's like his buddy or something was getting netted or what the deal was there, but you know, what was kind of
Still
going
paired
through
up.
your what was going through your guys's head after you stick that nice one early on Saturday?
Oh no, I felt really good just after sticking that first one. I'm like, because shortly after that, we had like almost like a 15, 30 minute bite window. Like we moved those two at the same time, and then probably 5, 10 minutes after that, we actually moved another one, which was probably only like a 38 or so. Which still would have been awesome to catch or whatever. It was almost about to eat, but it just never kind of committed. And I honestly, I felt really good after catching that first one, or my buddy caught that first one, Aaron did. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, dude, we got a chance to win this or whatever. We if this holds true on this, and the spot kind of keep producing some more fish, we might have a chance to win this kind of thing. And I knew, like I said, I said it multiple times, it's gonna be a tough PMTT. It's gonna be one of the tougher ones, kind of. And like even like one or two fish, like we seen it already, could win it. And like we all seen it, is like two fish. What was it, 38 and a 37 or something?
Right,
Yeah,
yeah,
something
just
like
a double
that.
of upper 30s won it, you know.
Right.
What was the celebration like when that fish hit the net?
Oh, it was we're jacked up. We're, I don't know, high-fiving, hugging, kind of. But honestly, we're kind of we're in the game basically. Like we're like I'm
locked it
I
in.
got yeah, exactly. I never really caught a fish in the PMTT, so I'm like scrambling trying to grab that piece of paper to see what to do.
Yeah,
I'm like, and then
it's
I'm like, oh shoot,
nerve-wracking.
I better call Tim up or whatever. So I called Tim up. He told me, I can't remember what color it was that Saturday. He was told me the color on the bump board and so on and so forth, kind of. And we ended up taking some good pictures and get it. Sent a good text to him or whatever. And he was all cool with it. But yeah,
Yeah.
no, it was.
The process is a little nerve-wracking when you're not used to that after you catch a fish, like having to do all those steps to make sure you're in line with the tournament rules and everything like that. It's just kind of a different feeling.
Yeah, exactly. You guys are professionals. You guys done multiple
Oh
tournaments. Like, you guys
That's
won Top Gun a year last year, so I give you guys credit on that. So, but it was definitely kind of nerve-wracking trying to get all the steps going and making sure we got all the, like, you can see the measurements and it's a good
Yeah.
picture and all that, because we don't want to obviously release that fish and then. Does it count or whatever it does?
Right.
That would be a sad deal.
I don't know. Has that ever happened before? Have you like heard of that kind of?
You're saying like
I
releasing
have
a
never heard of.
fish?
I've never
Yeah,
heard of like
somebody
pictures.
released. Go ahead.
And then the
I
pictures they don't
heard there was.
have.
I heard there was a guy who just released a fish without taking pictures, or like not taking
Really?
a picture of it on the bump board. Yeah. I heard that from Tim one time when I was talking, and then I know
Wasn't
that
there
there's been
something about
people
like
that have
a dump
lost
their
fish taking it
phones?
out of the net.
Oh, yeah.
Something, yeah, there's something like that. But there's been a lot of we'll have to maybe ask like Greg or somebody who's been fishing the trail for a long time. But I know there's been some horror stories of people like losing a fish as they take it out of the net, or it's flopping out of the boat, stuff like that. I know that stuff has happened.
Yeah. A couple tips on that. I think we got one from our buddies on if you can take pictures on like two phones. So like when the tournament's over, if you place, you gotta show them your phone and stuff like that. Then you have them in two places in case like your phone, I don't know, drops in the water or like dies or something. Who knows? Like something could happen there. And the other one is what we do when we bump fish, we bump them like in the lowest part of the boat, like the lower deck, so that there's no chance for it to flop and then go over the gunwale. I mean, it would have to literally, I don't know how it could get out if it was down there. And sometimes we do follow the fish with the net into the boat too. We've been pretty careful since we know like we don't want to have that horror story in the back of our mind of fish and just all of a sudden it just goes. It's always, I know every time, anytime I've held a fish, I always like hear Max whisper, "Hold on to it tight."
I think the most nerve-wracking I've ever been was when we had that like old, not an old, we had that RS net for quite some time, and it was the smaller version, and
Solo
that big fish
Slimer,
we caught it, yeah, the solo slime, and we caught that really big fish at or nice fish at Vermilion last year. And I remember like after Gus, unhooked it, we were trying to call Tim and do all this stuff. And I'm just sitting there looking at it. We hadn't even bumped it yet. So we hadn't taken it out of the bag. And I'm just sitting there admiring this fish. I'm like, man, I wonder how big it is. I'm kind of looking at it. And as I'm like looking at it, this thing is like just charging because we netted it so green. This thing is
yeah.
like charging into the net, like making like, he's like trying to run through the net. And I was like, Gus, we need to get this thing out of the net now.
Or just plows through
I
it.
was
Yeah,
worried
he
that
thought it
thing
was gonna make a hole or
was
something.
just gonna
Yeah.
rip.
Yeah,
I
that's
yeah, and
exactly why it didn't want to happen to us. So it's like
get it in the bag. I was gonna ask one question about I got two. You don't have to give away any secrets if you got like secret lures, maybe touch on what was getting some fish to moving, get them to move and maybe get the fish. And another thing was, after talking to some people who fish Monona, it sounded like it was pretty congested on a few areas. Were you guys, did you have space to fish your spot, or were there other people kind of working in and out of your area?
So we definitely had people working in and out kind of. So we kind of
Okay.
focused on this one spot where like it was like the tip of it where it was just getting blown in, and There was kind of like a, I don't know, like a cup in the weeds almost, where like a lot of the bait was kind of funneling in. At least I kind of thought of it because the first day, like I said, I had no, my Helix 12 took a dump on me. So like I had, the only thing I had was Helix 8, basically with my mapping and waypoints and stuff like that. So like
Just all hail the waypoints. Just follow those, and they'll take you to the promised land.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome.
Exactly. So we ended up making it work with just like a basic mapping, not like no side imaging. I'm huge on side imaging. I have my side imaging like dialed. And with not having that, kind of was a bummer. We're just kind of trying to stay positive through the whole thing. And I'm like, well, we're just gonna focus on our spots where we kind of know the best, where I have waypoint dialed pretty good. And like I said, we're kind of focusing on this tip a lot, and there's people kind of funneling through or whatever. And there's actually another buddy of mine who were up there, and he actually moved like a 45. I didn't know about that, but I kind of saw him kind of spot locked over on the side of it a little bit. And
Sure.
like I give him space or whatever. He was working that fish, and he kind of told me after it was a 45, but I kind of give him the space. I kind of worked my way around it, kind of kept going around this kind of tip, the point of it. And sure enough, I was like, oh, this is gonna be perfect. We're gonna spot lock right on this. Not like spot lock the whole time, but like we're gonna just kind of curl in here, let this bolt just drift right in this certain spot, and kind of spot locked right there, fan cast, and that's when we kind of hooked up. And but like otherwise, there's some people like kind of towards the like further down the structure, working the other side of the kind of like the windward side. So, but like when people kind of went through or whatever, I kind of give them the space or whatever, even though I was just really kind of focusing on this one little spot and this one little area where we're kind of doing it. But like I said,
Oh, go ahead.
it's tournament fishing, so I like we're all here for the same reason. So it's like I always try to give people the respect of like kind of going around or working together, kind of trying to get it by each other. So we never really had, there was no argument, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, as long as he didn't
So
get yelled at.
right,
And
exactly.
he said you moved some pre-fishing on blades. Did you guys find blades effective during that tournament weather we had, or did you have to maybe switch it up to something, pull pause or a jerk bait or
It was
something
rubber.
sneaky? It was rubber.
Yeah, it was actually, I it's not really a big secret. A lot of people know Aaron and I, we're big tube guys, so
There you go.
we love the tubes. And
That's funny.
all the rubbers are really good. I don't know, we're big rubber people in general, kind of thing. So we like ripping a rubber, kind of getting that nose diving down or whatever, trying to get that deep down. Because like I said, like I've noticed before on the chain, like the bait kind of likes to hunker down. Hey, I was out today, and I noticed all the bait I was marking was all like down. Like I'm marking bait out in 18 feet of water, and the bait's like anywhere from like towards the bottom to like 15 feet. So like best selection for bait choice is basically rubber, just trying to get that bait down there. But I also moved a few on crankbaits, kind of ripping it kind of into the weeds, and then kind of like stopping it, letting it flow back up, kind of ripping it back in, and then floating back up, kind of doing one of those techniques. And that moved a couple fish. I never really got anything to commit on it besides pike.
Well, they love those.
I know.
Did
Pike was up
yeah. What were you using, like really sizable baits or like modest size baits? Because I know that we've had pretty good success on really, really big baits out there in the Madison chain. So I was wondering if maybe you also, yeah, some big stuff.
there. No, actually,
No?
not this year yet. Not this year yet.
Really?
It was kind of the average size, regular stuff. Not like super small, but like the reg
Okay.
kind of type of baits. I think it was, I guess 10-inch tubes and stuff like that is was the ticket for us at least. So nothing really crazy big, but like last year I got on a, like you said, I got on a really epic bike catching like a couple 46s. This was after the PMTD, of course, and we're throwing pounders out there and like big Medusas, husky Medusas and all that stuff, and we're doing well on that, and we caught a couple 46s, and they're definitely not shy on eating big bass. A lot of people think Madison is like panfish bass lake, gotta throw small or whatever, and that's not the case or whatever. They're muskies, we all know that. So
I mean, they're big. They need a big meal too. And
exactly right. Actually, interesting thing, I was out today and I caught five pike, which really bothered me. I was getting heated after the fifth pike I caught, and I think it was like the fourth one I caught, and it was just like a little snake. It was probably, I don't know, 18-inch pike or something like that. But like the gouge of like the side of the fish was just like a fresh wound. I'm like, I looked at my buddy, I'm like, dude, that thing got smoked by a giant.
oh
So,
yeah.
well, that just shows right there, those muskies will eat anything or whatever. So, like, just don't have to throw small.
Right. Was that, did you, so I know before we got on here, we kind of talked about how long you've been fishing the Madison chain, which was like, you said like 8, 9 years or something like that,
Yeah, it
ballpark, or
was.
was it?
Yeah, it was like, I think it was 9 years now. Yeah.
Okay. Did you, I mean, you've obviously probably learned a ton, but like, did you start throwing some big stuff like right away, or did you just
No.
kind of have to slowly learn? You just slowly
No.
kind of
I just
progressed
kind
and
of slowly.
learned.
How I kind of started musky fishing was my first musky actually was going up to the Northwoods, up in the Manny chain up there. And I caught one
Nice.
up. Me and my buddies were rolling up there just for a fishing trip. And I always wanted to catch a muskie, and I knew that was a hot spot and stuff. And we ended up going up there, buying a St. Croix rod, stopping at the St. Croix place up there, buying a rod up there, going to
Shout out.
the, yep,
Shout
going
out,
to
yeah.
the muskie shop and buying a reel and stuff like that and some baits, and ended up going up to the Manny chain. It was the last day just to kind of make it short. And, I was the only one who hook up into a little, I don't know, probably a 30-inch muskie or whatever, cranking blades. And ever since then, I was kind of hooked and kind of went back to Madison, obviously back where I was home water because that was the last day. And I'm like, dude, I got a really musky fish. I really like this thing. I was basically hooked. I wasn't quite sure if that muskie hooked me more or I hooked him more. So it's like, that the bug really started after that, and I was like, oh, I gotta get a boat. And I got a little 14-foot boat just to get around. And I was watching YouTube videos and stuff before really podcast was like a big thing. And now podcast is honestly a really good learning moment, or you can learn a lot off through podcasts. But back where I was saying was like, I ended up watching a lot of YouTube videos trying to learn how to musky fish, little techniques and stuff. And we got a lake over Madison, in Madison, right by Monona. It's called Windrow, and you guys kind of already know that. It's like a, it's kind of like a nursery. It's like there's tons of fish in there. It's a lot of like little smaller ones, but you catch like a 45 here and there. But I ended up just want to kind of focus in my skills on fishing like Windrow, and kind of like learn how to musky fish instead of go and get beat up on the big lakes, kind of. That's kind of how I started it, just because I didn't want to like spend hours and hours and trying to chase a fish on the big lakes and not practicing. And I think that's probably the best way. Like you gotta have interactions with these fish to like actually really hound in your like skills and techniques and how to catch them and stuff. So that was kind of like biggest thing. So I like obviously there I was throwing a lot of smaller stuff and kind of worked my way up in the bigger lakes and stuff, and it's so.
you said last year you went almost every weekend, like late summer into September, up to Green Bay. Did a lot of fishing out there. What kind of success did you have last year?
Actually, so we ended up catching 550s last year.
Nice.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
That's probably
Like
why
every
you're going
weekend,
back up.
basically.
Yeah, right. Four of them was out there, and then one of them was back in Monona. So we're, I think, what was it? My buddy caught a 50 on Green Bay, and I caught a 51, 52 and three quarters, and 53 on Green Bay. And then after, like, we're finished up the cast and bite or whatever in like kind of mid-September, we ended up coming back and bagging a 50, was it 50 and a half, my buddy did, on top water over in Monona. But yeah, no, I make quite a bit of trips out there, especially in that prime cast and bite. So I'm all about chasing the biggest fish or whatever, biggest, like the 50s and stuff. That's why I'm big and throwing big baits right now. So but yeah, no, that
I
go
was
ahead.
sorry. I was just gonna say. I was just gonna ask, what's your favorite time of year on the Madison chain to catch fish
Ooh.
and big fish, I guess.
Probably when they start probably moving up in the weeds. Like you should be able to get a good bite window, like good like technique pattern coming in like in June like this, like later June or whatever, once the water temperature warms up more, throwing big rubber and I caught like some few 46s, and you always hear some 4 footers and 50 inches caught this time of year. But like the best time I think out of Madison is once that water temperature starts cooling down, getting into that early fall kind of like patterns and stuff, once the fish start pushing up back in the weeds and stuff. Because right now those fish are, I feel like, are on the weed lines and like might be kind of starting, like you got fish out, you got fish all over basically. You got fish on the weed lines and out deep. And yeah, I feel like with more and more bluegills pushing, like gonna be pushing out with the warmer temps, you're gonna get a really good big rubber bite going on, and you're gonna hear some big fish being caught in the next few weeks, I feel like. But
Oh, sorry, go ahead, Max.
how are you, Brian? How are you?
I was to say, last year we had kind of explored the idea of going down to Madison Chain once our lakes got iced up, like around Thanksgiving. Have you fished like late in the year? Are the big fish on the move?
I'm usually got I'm off still up in Green Bay then. Honestly, it's tough. It, like I feel like the two toughest parts is like early season in May and some of June like this, and then like back like after turnover, like going in that turnover range, and then after turnover it can really get tough. Like you can float some suckers or whatever and do pretty well. On some, like honestly, I've heard people like floating like smaller suckers and doing really well in late season stuff. They have like a four fish day or something like that. I never really got into that bite too much because I'm going up to Green Bay and trolling and stuff like that. You get a little more action kind of trolling up there. So, but no, it's
So,
definitely good.
well, I was just gonna ask, if we're on the topic of big fish and talking a little bit about Madison, I'm just kind of curious what's the biggest fish you've laid your eyes on the Mad Chain? Either you've caught it or you just moved it. You know, is there one out there that you're kind of chasing?
I don't know. There's one haunt me last year. It was at least over 50, and I was using a big rubber bait or whatever, getting it down deep and hooked into it. I had another buddy out with me, and he's kind of new in musky fishing. I was able to get it up, and he had the net right there, and he had like one split second. He might have could have net it, but like it would have been a risky net job. And ended up taking one last pull, and just line just started screaming, and I ended up popping off or whatever kind of thing. That was probably, I don't know, that was over 50 for sure. But I'm not sure. I truly believe there's 52s out there for sure, which will be kind of cool to get your hands on one of those. My biggest was 51 a couple years ago, which was a pretty cool milestone for out there. But you always hear kind of 50s, 51s being caught out in Madison. So I did hear of, I'm trying to remember exact measurement. I think it was like a 54 or something like that, caught like a few years ago out of Madison. Don't quote me on the measurement. I know it was like upper, like past the 53. I think it was closer to 54, like I said. But it's somewhere in that range. It was a huge fish. You look at that fish, it's like that melon on that fish is so it's
Wow.
unbelievable. So
Yeah, I mean
that's
it's got
wild.
the leechers. I actually have a question about the Leech Lake strain, because they stock them in Monona, which is probably why it's more popular. It probably has the larger fish. Do you ever catch some leechers in Wabisa? Do they make their way in there?
Oh,
Do
absolutely.
yeah,
Absolutely.
for sure.
They go up and down that train. Like I've heard people like I think they caught one leecher tagged or whatever back in Wabisa, and all of a sudden another guy caught it back in Monona, like probably a few months later or whatever it was later that season. It was within the season, another guy caught it in Monona. So that
Jeez,
just
that's
shows
wild.
like they definitely travel throughout the chain or whatever. And I going back to that being so tough, maybe it's something like because a few years ago we had some high water, and I don't know if maybe some of those fish kind of traveled out of the system a little bit downriver. And that's could be a reason why our numbers are kind of low. It's kind of lower because somebody told me about like the capital city numbers were like the DNR was trying to keep it up to like that 0.5 per acre, I think it was. And I think it's closer down to like a 0.2, 0.3 kind of per acre or something like that. So it's definitely a lot lower than it's been. And like people, like
Gotcha.
years before, you go out there and have like four or five fish a day. Like you guys probably heard it before. And now you're going out there, you're working, like you're trying to get a couple of what you like one or two a day kind of thing. So, but they definitely travel throughout the chain. I've seen it, and it's pretty easy for a fish to go across a lake. Like I could go troll across a lake, and I don't know, from the north side of Wabisa to the south side of the Wabisa, you could get to the one side of the lake within, I don't know, half an hour maybe. Trolling at like 3.5 or something. So those fish have big tails. They can get down to the other side of the lake within probably, they could get down to the lake within a half an hour. I know they can swim faster than I can troll,
Yeah,
roughly.
that's true.
So
Yeah.
if they really choose to.
I mean, that's a long
Yeah.
channel. That's quite the vacation they're taking if they're hopping between lakes. I mean, that's not just like a, if we like thinking about our, the lakes that we're on up here with like our chains, and talking about maybe just like using Eagle River as an example. I mean, that's just a quick, I don't know, Gus, few hundred yard channel at times, from one lake to
Yeah, they're pretty
another. It's
short.
not surprising that fish move about that, but like between Monona and Wabisa, I mean, what's that about a 25, 30 minute,
Yeah, it's
jump?
25. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's quite the trip that they're taking, just
That's
packing the bags
crazy.
and heading out of town.
Yeah. But like even the spawn, like those fish will push up in those rivers and stuff like that. And also maybe you got a fish maybe stayed in Wabisa for most of its life, and all of a sudden they go up river to spawn and they just decided to keep going. And then all of a sudden they're back in Monona. So it's like or vice versa kind of thing. So I could see it happening. I feel like it happens more than people actually think out there.
Yeah.
So
So you guys take sixth place at the PMTT. You qualify for the championship, which is going to be up in Eagle River. Timely to bring that up, I guess. So you got to fish Tonka to get there. Are you guys going to do it?
yeah, it sure sounds like it. We're kind of, yeah, it kind of sounds like we are.
Sweet.
We're still, I can't give you a for sure yes, but like, we're, I don't know. It's probably yes. You know what I mean? I'm all about like that a little bit of competitive in tournament. I'm pretty hooked in terms after taking that sixth place now, so which is pretty cool. It'll be kind of cool to kind of experience on new body of water. I've never been out to Minnesota, so it'll be kind of cool to check some of that stuff out. And I know that could be a kind of a whole different animal out there at times.
So, you'll be at home with your leechers, though.
Maybe, I know, exactly.
They act the same. Maybe the same baits work there.
Hopefully,
you know?
Better. Yeah, hopefully, yeah. A little better than Madison. But yeah, no, I know. But that's what I kind of heard. I thought, I don't know. You might know more than me about Tonka, but I've kind of heard about, like, you could get on a good deep rubber bite out there, whatever, on some secondary breaks and deeper weeds and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. Which is kind of goes into what we do out here a little bit, throwing rubber and trying to get out a little deeper and stuff.
Yeah, I think you'd probably feel at home. I mean, I've still never been on the lake at all and never looked at a side image while I'm there, but it sounds like if you're a rubber fisherman and like deep weeds, you're should be in paradise, you know, if you can, you know, lock in a few bites. But I think that'll be a fun one. Hope, you know, crossing my fingers that we get a good bite, because man, that's a tough start to the PMTT year with low numbers, you know, I guess I should say typical numbers at Cave being low, and then lower than probably a lot of people expected at Madison. So I'm sure people and even the PMTTs are hoping for a nice bite at Tonka.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree. But what actually, when is that? Is it like the third week of August? I think it is.
Yeah, that's might be the fourth. I can tell you in a second here.
Yeah, so either way, it's like it's right around like that August, later August kind of. So like I can see some fish being kind of pushing up in the shallows too a little bit. So I feel like honestly you might have fish all over the place. But like yeah. I never been on a lake, so I don't know for sure, but like that's kind of what I've seen like throughout musky fishing the last few years or whatever, mm-hmm. that time of year.
Yeah, late August cool down is gonna push them. It's August 23rd and 24th.
Right. I gotcha.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, like we were kind of saying, it might push some fish up shallow a little bit and maybe in some sand. I don't know if there's much sand up there. Probably, I'm assuming so. Like a lot of those Minnesota lakes have good sand bites going on. So
what? That'll be interesting. New to us. We're not really the sand bite aficionados.
I started liking it more and more after fishing Green Bay, because Green Bay is all like, there's tons of sand out there or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like, it goes back to like marking them on site imaging or whatever. Like those muskies will stick out like sore thumbs in that sand. So like you go by them and all of a sudden you mark like 3-4 of them in the sand. Like you got a good chance to kind of circle back around and actually maybe catch a few or one or two kind of thing. So, which is kind of cool. I would like to kind of try to check some of that out, but who knows? It's long ways from here.
Yeah.
Still got a couple more months. But
yeah, got some more fish to go after. Got some time.
Yeah. Think about it. It'll be fun. We hope we'll see you guys up there. And I agree. I'm praying. I think the PMTT, like Gus said, PMTT and everyone that's fishing it, I think is praying for a really good bite. I think we're due either at this next one or the championship. You know, I think we just need some good weather to fall our way, and it should be good. I would love to be part of another shootout type tournament. Those seem to be kind of a little bit more fun when you know the updates are coming a little bit more often, and you know you're yeah. on fish, because the first two events have just been they've just been tough. So yeah
just actually looking at the standings, like it's basically anybody's game at the moment for like Top Gun. At least that's what I kind of noticed. Like anybody could really, you go in Tonka and probably catch two or three fish, or you're moving up that board real quick or whatever. So, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool. So I think it might be a good bite. I've never really been out there, so I can't really say much, but hopefully it's a good bite for everyone.
Right on. Well, yeah, we, Well, we wish you the best luck here with the rest of the summer, and well, you'll have to kind of keep us updated on the Madison chain if things start heating up a little bit. We'd like to hear about it because it'd be
Losing
nice to
faith.
nice to see some results coming out of that system.
Yeah, most
But yeah.
definitely. Like I said, the bait's moving out, so I think it's going to be kind of getting a better and better bait here shortly with the rubber bite going on. So, but
Awesome. Right on.
all right, Will, thank you so much for coming on tonight and chatting it up with the crew here about the Madison chain. You know, good to hear from somebody who found the bite, you know, got the sixth place. Congrats to you and Aaron. Great job. We definitely hope to see you at Tonka. That like we just discussed, I think that should be a good bite. We're all hoping for a good one there. But thank you so much for coming on here tonight and chatting muskies.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's always a blast to talk muskies with you boys. And actually, could I do a quick shout out to Arch D Plumbing? They actually
For
kind of
sure.
sponsored me for
Shot him
on
up. Yeah.
the tournament. So it was pretty cool of
That's
them. They're a
cool.
great company. They're a great company to kind of work for, and they treat all their employees good, and they top notch around there. So you got any plumbing jobs or whatever, just head that way or whatever. So
What's the name again?
RHD Plumbing.
All right, shout
RHD.
out.
Yeah. Shout out RHD
Shout
Plumbing. Let's
out.
go.
Otherwise,
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
that's about it. So if whenever you guys want to get a little bit of intel on Madison, I'm more than welcome to kind of share a little bit and kind of go from there. So
Cool.
right on.
Well, appreciate you
Cool.
coming on tonight.
All right, I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Take her easy.
Yeah, you as well. Bye-bye.
All right, we can't thank Will enough for coming on and sharing his time tonight to chat some Madison chain muskies, a little bit dabbled up in the Green Bay. Sounds like he's caught some absolute beauties out there, you know, rolling into that casting bite that's ever so famous out there in August and into September. You know, it seems like he's a magnet for big fish. Again, congrats to him and his partner Aaron on sixth place in the PMTT at Madison. Getting it done and a tough bite. But yeah, I mean that's just sounds like Madison overall has just been tough all year. I mean it's been like the one consistent thing after talking to so many of the locals out there that the chain has just had a tough bite, but I'm sure it's gonna bounce back. I can't imagine it stays tough all year. And for how many fish are that are in that system, somebody's going to go out and have a baller day or two. So, I mean, I don't know.
I got a feeling that he might be in for a good one at Minnetonka. I mean, he's used to fishing similar types of lakes, similar, you know, leech strained muskie. You guys had beginner's luck in Minnesota last year and caught a big fish on Vermilli. So I don't
Right.
know. I got a feeling he might find himself back on that top 10 board. We'll see.
I could see it for sure.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah, really fun conversation. I always like hearing about some big fish stories. And yeah, no, we couldn't really let it go with Madison, but nice to know that we weren't alone. You know, obviously it was a tough bite for people, and good to hear from a team that had some success. I always like hearing too about, people catching their first fish in tournaments, stuff like that. It's just, that feeling. It's pretty cool. But all right, well, moving on here, Gus. Obviously, as we touched on in the interview, things have been a little shaken up for you post Madison. Where do you see the bite going from here? If people are tuning in this Thursday or Friday, heading up north, what should they expect?
I'm looking at the forecast here, and it's kind of held what I thought it was kind of showing. I honestly couldn't believe my eyes and seeing that there's chances of rain almost every single day for the next time 10 days, which is pretty crazy. I mean, we had for sure this is Sunday night, the 16th, and we had to have been a storm of just a rainstorm of more than half an inch of rain. And it looks like tomorrow, Monday, we're getting close to an inch, and it's just gonna keep going up. So like, we're gonna have high water in a lot of lakes. We've been having high wind, so it's just been mixing it up, and I'm seeing that the water temperatures are consistent through like every single lake. So it must be the surface temperature is probably kind of, shot down into the water column a little bit more. There's probably some consistency there, but the thing that hasn't been consistent, I swear, has been the bites. I mean, there's been a lot of buggy activity. I've been pushing off of brakes. I at least have some reports of some good friends doing quite well here on a few occasions, pushing into a little bit of open water and getting some good bites. Like I maybe touched on earlier in the intro, I don't know if I'm making the wrong lake choices or something, but I'm seeing the activity out there. The muskies are not cooperating for myself, and it's been a little frustrating to say the least. I mean, we're still getting a few bites. I think the reason I'm probably really, getting a little frustrated is that there's just no, the sizable fish are evading me. Seen a couple low 40s, but like other than that, I mean, not even those guys are deciding to open their freaking yappers. So it's been a grind. Been a big time grind.
Good. Well, hopefully things kind of pick up for you and you find a consistent pattern. You always do. I'm sure you will. But let's turn it over here to our other buddy Brian. Last time he was on the water, he mopped it up pretty good. I know we'll be up north together here in a few weeks, a few short weeks from now. Brian, how do you expect to live up to how you perform there during opener?
Well, if the bite continues like Gus is describing, I don't know. But hopefully a few weeks here, it'll get things more in a natural state. Hopefully we get onto a little bit of bite. I think, 4th of July, we don't typically fish a ton. But I think we'll all sneak out maybe a couple mornings or something. I know Gus and I had mentioned maybe doing a little fly mission at some point. So that'd be cool. Catch any size fish in the fly is always fun. But yeah, looking forward to that for sure. We'll have one of our other buddies up who I think just will musky fish like once a year whenever he's up there. He'll go out with Gus for a little bit, so it'd be cool to see him catch one.
Yeah, that would be legit. I think it'll be a much better bite for sure. I mean, it's like it's tried and true every year that, late June, early July, everything gets well established, and we're in the time frame of just notorious tough fishing. And I think there's like a big old combo of like a lot of wind, a lot of fronts coming in, all sudden high water. It was an early ice off to all of a sudden a cold spring. I mean, we're it's just been crazy weather, and I'm not, trying to put any blame to anything. It's just only to get these bites, I feel like we're working like really hard to get them, like changing baits a lot of second guessing, minimal follows because of the cold water still. I feel like we're not The bite windows aren't super big. The last time we had bites going kind of off moon phases was when we had warmer water. Like there was a few nights where I was on some lakes that were pushing into like 70 to 72 degree range, and I felt like the bite was way better. Now I've been on lakes and I've seen as low as like pretty much almost under 64 degrees. I mean, we were seeing that on surface temperatures a
That's
long, long
crazy.
time ago. So the winds mixed
That's
everything up. We had like a frost warning not long ago. So it's been a wild spring after what we thought was going to be like a hot and dry summer. So we got bamboozled.
Yeah, no, that'll happen. So, Brian, after talking all these muskies tonight, do you feel any better? Take your mind off of Rory at all after the US Open?
No, I need a good couple nights of sleep to kind of put that on the back burner for now, but yeah, that's tough. That's about all I can think of right now.
I just hate to see you down in the dumps. Really brings a tear to my eye,
No, I mean, Bryson's a great winner, US guy winning the US Open. It's fitting, I'm glad he got it done.
All right, boys. Well, I think that's gonna do it for me here tonight. Good chatting with y'all. If you haven't seen us on Instagram yet, we gotta pick up our game, guys. We gotta start getting some more posts going. We gotta
more
get a little more
reels.
Active. We gotta get more engaged on the socials.
Yeah,
but we will. We'll pick up the pace here for you guys. Give us a follow, Muskies on Tap on Instagram. I'll let Gus take it away for the rest.
Sure, yeah. If you wanna get out musky fishing this year, or you know, shoot me a message at all and get out in the Vile Sonida County area of northern Wisconsin, you can find me at Suggs Fishing on Instagram or Suggs Fishing Guide Service on Facebook. Add me as a friend, Gus Manti, on Facebook as well. I post a lot of fish pics up there, you know, talking about, you know, how we got the bite that day, or you know, what's been going on and stories of this and that. So shoot me a follow, be much appreciated. And also just kind of throw this in here, if you know, enjoy the podcast, don't be afraid to tell a friend, you know, share it, let some people know if you like it, love it, hate it, medium about it, mediocre, you know, anything. But again, appreciate everybody tuning in to another week of Muskies on Tap here. And I think we're just going to let Brian take us away here and hope we got another little better update bite for the next week. So, Brian, let's hear it.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Muskies on Tap. Shout out to Will for coming on. Shout out to
Shout
the
out.
Trolling Company and the sponsor
Shout
as well. If you guys need the pipes clean, hit him up. He got you
Shout
there.
Out. Shout, Shout out. Out.
Shout out. Shout out. Guys, let's get down to the meat and potatoes here. We got 1 month until Royal Troon. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath. He had a top five there last time he was there in 2016. He's not going to have any mercy towards anyone in the field. I got him one of my 10 of my early predictions. My model has him blowing it away. Don't even bother watching on Sunday. It'll be out of reach until he misses every putt and loses again. Stay tuned on that. But everybody have a great weekend. Be safe out there on the water. Cheers.
Peace.